to flourish.
All right, good morning. How do I recover from that? Well, welcome. If I have not met you yet, my name is Joe Nealis. I get to lead the college ministry here. It's a lot of fun. If you guys have your Bibles, go ahead and flip those open to Matthew chapter 13. That's where we're going to be this morning. And as you guys flip through, I want to just start with a story, if I can. About a year ago, my wife and I had date night. Love date night once a week, and sometimes we go out. Most of the time we stay in, more cost effective, right? So we look up a recipe that we want to make, and man, we want to look up one of our favorite dishes, orange chicken, okay? It's amazing. So we look up some recipes. We find one. It's got a list of instructions on there. And so we start to make this dish. We're following the instructions. So far, so good. And it says that we need to have a tablespoon of cornstarch. You're like, why am I learning about cornstarch on a Sunday morning? You'll learn in just a second. So we're making the meal according to the instructions. And Anna, my wife, she looks at it and she's like, I don't know, Joe. It says you need to do it this way, but like, I think it needs more. I'm like, all right, like maybe you know more than this. Like, whatever, let's do it. And so she starts to like scoop more cornstarch on there. And soon enough, this pan is like, white, okay? And so, you know, it starts to heat up and it starts to burn. And so the chicken starts to dry out, everything starts to burn. And so we got the fans going, we're like opening up windows. You've probably been there before, maybe. And so anyway, it doesn't look great. And my wife and I, we're not quitters. And so we didn't just waste 45 minutes to not eat this, okay? So we decorate our plate. We're feeling pretty optimistic about it, and we take a bite, and we order pizza 5 minutes later, okay? Maybe you've been there, right? We had some instructions that we were to follow, and we didn't follow them, and it didn't turn out the way that we had hoped. And how often is that just true in life in general, right? Maybe you've got goals or things that you desire, and often it's true that in order to get what you desire or to get to this goal, you have to listen to some instructions, or maybe listen to somebody who knows what they're talking about in order to get to that desired goal. And so why do I mention that this morning? I think it's true that all of us want it to be said of our lives that we flourish. We want to flourish in our lives. We want to have a life of lasting meaning and purpose and joy. I think that's true of all of us, right? It's why we're going through this series, Flourishing in the Kingdom, right? Where Jesus, what do you have to say about what it looks like to thrive and to flourish in this life the way that you want us to? We want that to be true in our lives. We want to flourish. But the question is, how do you and I get there? How can that be true of us, that we can be people who flourish? Or maybe another way to ask that question is, how do you and I know, how can we know if the way that we're living our lives is setting us up to flourish or not? And Jesus, in our passage in Matthew 13, he's gonna answer that question for us. And what we're gonna see is that whether or not you flourish has everything to do with your listening skill. That for those who listen to Jesus and his teachings, he's going to reveal to you the mysteries of how this world works and how to live in it well, to live in it for his glory. He's going to teach you, but if you don't want to listen, then scripture says that you're off on your own. You're trying to find flourishing, and you're going to consistently hit dead ends. And so if you're not already there, I invite you to go to Matthew 13. And before we start reading the passage, I want to set up the context just a little bit. Matthew doesn't start in chapter 13. There are 12 chapters before that, so I'm going to do my best to summarize it quickly. So here's what's happening up to this point. Jesus has just finished up his Sermon on the Mount, this famous sermon that he preaches right at the get-go of his ministry. And maybe some of you guys have taken Equip and you've learned about the Sermon on the Mount. There's riches there, and maybe you've never read it before. I encourage you to check it out. There's a lot of good stuff in there. Anyway, so a ton of people are leaning in and saying, man, Jesus, he's got something to say, and there's a lot of hype building around him, and so these crowds will just follow him wherever he goes. And it's interesting because this crowd has a mixed response to him. Not everybody likes this guy, Jesus. In fact, there are three kinds of categories of people in that crowd. There are three kinds of responses. There are some who are with him. Man, they love this Jesus. They want to hear more. And there are others who are adamantly against him. He doesn't know what he's talking about, right? And then you get others who are, man, are just right on the fence. They're not sure what to do with him yet. And so in this passage we're about to look at, this crowd of people, they gather again. They want more of this Jesus' teachings. They want to learn more. And so that's where we find ourselves. Look down with me, starting in verse 1. It says this. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him that he had to get into a boat. And he sat down while this whole crowd stood on the shore. And then he told them many things in parables, saying, consider the sower who went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it didn't have much soil, and it grew up quickly since the soil, it wasn't deep. When the sun came up, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it. Still, other seed fell on good ground, and it produced fruit. Some 100, some 60, and some 30 times what was sown. Let anyone who has ears listen. So if you're taking notes with me this morning, point number one is this, ears that listen. Ears that listen. And so Jesus in this passage, it says that he leaves the company of somebody's house and he heads over to the beach. Sounds pretty good, right? He's heading over to the beach. And a bunch of people start following him, this crowd that we were just talking about. And the author paints this picture. I mean, can you just imagine with me, this beach is like this amphitheater, just filled with hundreds and hundreds of people, maybe thousands of people. I mean, as far as the eye can see, people want to hear what Jesus has to say. And prior to this, Jesus, he's been spending his time talking about the good news of the kingdom. All right, and to us, we're like, good news of the kingdom, right? What? This good news of the kingdom that he's proclaiming was the good news that in him, in Jesus, God's kingdom of goodness and blessing has come to earth to start redeeming and reclaiming it. God's kingdom has come to our broken world to begin redeeming and reclaiming it. That's really good news. And so Jesus, he's come to share that message, the good news of the kingdom. And right now he's got a captive audience. People want to hear. They're all here. Jesus, he can just share it clearly, this good news of the kingdom. You know what he does? He uses this opportunity to talk about farmers, talk about soil, right? And it's like, Jesus, what are you doing? It almost feels like, it's like, Jesus, you had this perfect opportunity and it kind of feels like you miss it. In fact, the disciples, they think this. In verse 10, they kind of pull him aside. They're like, Jesus, why are you speaking to them in parables? Like, why not just paint the picture a little bit more clearly to them? Like, why this way? And you know how Jesus responds? Look down with me in verse 11. Jesus, he says, listen, it's because the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, for you to know. But it has not been given to them. For whoever has more will be given to him. And he will have more than enough. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. That is why I speak to them in parables, because looking they do not see, and hearing they do not listen or understand. And so, for Jesus, parables were his way of putting the ball into his listeners' court. He would teach, and then you had the opportunity to either lean in or to dismiss it. To hear him talk about farmers and soils and be like, what is he talking about? I'm done with this. Or to lean in and be like, man, there's gotta be something here. If you want the treasures of truth hidden in these parables, you'll look for it. You'll lean in. You might ask questions just like these disciples did. Or if you don't want to listen, you're not gonna look for it. You're gonna dismiss it entirely. And Jesus, he'll let you do that. In other words, if you didn't want to listen, Jesus, he wasn't gonna waste your time. You had a choice. But if you do want to listen, Jesus says, you'll be blessed. In fact, I'm gonna tell you the secrets of the kingdom. We're like, that's cool, but what are these secrets of the kingdom, right? Secrets, like, you know, remember when you were in grade school, right? And you would share secrets with your friends, right? That person over there has a crush on that person over there. Don't tell them anything, right? It's a secret, right? You guys remember that? What do we know about secrets? Well, secrets are for a select group of people. Not everybody can know about it. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a secret. But what makes these secrets different from grade school is that these secrets are shared openly with anyone who wants to truly know them. Jesus is like, hey, you want to know the secrets of the kingdom? Come, listen, I'll share it with you. And what were these secrets about? These secrets of the kingdom, this kind of strange phrase that Jesus uses, they were about how God's kingdom is at work in the world right now, to bring people into his kingdom, to show them the way to live in this kingdom, the way to live and to flourish in their lives. He's like, listen, if you want to flourish, come listen to what I have to say. Jesus says, if you want to know these secrets, you can, but if you don't, I won't make you listen. Only those with ears to hear will understand these secrets. You know who had the ears to hear? His disciples, right? Verse 16 in our passage, Jesus, he looks at them. If you look down with me, he looks at them and he says, blessed are your eyes because they do see, and your ears because they do hear. But most everyone else did not have the ears to hear Jesus' message. They would hear it and they're like, what is this guy talking about? Man, this is nonsense, especially some of the Pharisees. They would hear Jesus talk about the good news of the kingdom, and they're like, yeah, we know about the kingdom from the Old Testament. And Jesus, what you're talking about, that doesn't seem to jive with what we know, right? The kingdom is all about overpowering the Romans and defeating our enemies. It's power. When we look at Jesus, we see somebody who's meek. We see somebody serving. We see somebody who's spending time with the outcasts and touching the untouchables. That's not the kingdom. This is ridiculous. They didn't have ears to hear because they had already made their mind up about Jesus. And so Jesus, he honors their decision and keeps his message away from them. And as we'll see, it's that kind of response that doesn't lead to their flourishing, that doesn't set them up to flourish, but rather the opposite. So what about you? How are you responding to Jesus, right? Like, do you have ears to hear what Jesus would say to you? Point number two is this: a life that withers. A life that withers. We're gonna look into what Jesus has to say about this parable of the farmers and the soils and all that. What does that mean? What we're gonna see in the verses that we're about to read, Jesus, he begins to unpack his earlier parable to the disciples. And in doing so, he essentially says to them, he gathers them together. He's like, hey guys, do you guys remember what I said about the ears that listen, the ears that don't, the eyes that see, the eyes that don't, right? Do you remember me saying that? There's two responses, right? Some people are gonna listen to me. Other people are gonna totally reject me. He's like, that's what I was trying to get at in the parable of the sowers. And with these two responses, they play out in four different ways. And they find themselves in these four different soils. So let's look at this passage, verse 19. Verse 19, Jesus explaining the first soil. He says, when anyone hears the word about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the one sown along the path. So who could Jesus be talking about? Who is this first soil, right? I mean, it doesn't sound too great. Like, who is this first soil? Well, this is the person who just outright rejects Jesus, dismisses him. See, they think that Jesus, man, he might have been a good teacher, but he's kind of irrelevant to their lives, right? Like, man, they might be thinking, man, life is going just fine without Jesus. So why would I need him? And sometimes they might even be hostile to Jesus. They don't want to talk about faith or about Jesus or anything like that. Wherever they find themselves, right? This is somebody who has outright rejected Jesus and his teachings. This is the person who doesn't have what Jesus says are ears to hear. And guys, for a lot of us in this room, that was our story. There was a time in my life, and maybe in your guys' life as well, when, man, you would have never seen yourself sitting in a church like this 10 years ago, right? Like, man, I would never go to a church. That's not me. You know, that's for these kind of people, not for me. And then something happened in your life. Or something happened, right? Like Jesus, he came into your life. He changed you. But that's not true for everybody. In fact, Jesus says that people will reject him for years, maybe even a lifetime. I mean, can you think of like family or friends or coworkers or neighbors who would fit into that category? Can you think of them? Can you picture them in your mind? We ought to pray for those people. That's the first soil. But what about the other ones? There are several others. And the second one, Jesus describes, we're gonna see this in just a second. Jesus, he describes the second soil as someone who enjoys some of what Jesus has to say. They're like, man, I like some of the things he says. This is great, but they're not personally committed to him. Right? This message of the kingdom hasn't sunk deep into their heart to transform them. Nevertheless, they enjoy him. And so let's look at verse 20. Jesus says this about the second soil. He says, and the one sown on rocky ground, this is one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. But he has no root and is short-lived. And when distress or persecution comes because of the word, immediately he falls away. So this person receives Jesus with joy. They like some of the things he says. They might even say they follow him as well. But while they're interested in Jesus, they're not committed to him. They're interested in Jesus, but they're not truly committed to them, because when trials and hard times come, they quickly abandon him, never to return. That's that second soil, right? I wonder what this would look like today. Maybe this is the kind of person who comes to church regularly or semi-regularly. Man, they like the music. They like how nice people are. They might like what Jesus has to say about, man, how I can be a better person, you know, a better husband, or, you know, do better with my finances. They might like that, but when the heat of difficulty comes in their life, they quickly abandon him. That's what that soil does. And I wonder if you've seen this in the lives of your friends or your family, or maybe if you're honest, maybe that's where you are this morning. And then there's a third soil that Jesus talks about. It's the one on thorny ground. Jesus describes it this way. Look down with me in verse 22. Jesus describes it like this. He says, now the one sown among the thorns, this is one who hears the word, but the worries of this age and the deceitfulness of wealth, they choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. So the message of the kingdom isn't able to produce fruit in their lives, to introduce flourishing into their lives, because they have what? They have competing priorities. Jesus has his priorities, but man, theirs outweigh his. They hear Jesus' teachings on how to flourish in the world he created, how to relate to their finances, their relationships, the poor, their enemies. They hear this. And they kind of think to themselves, man, I'd rather do things my way. They might call themselves Christians, but there's no real transformation or kingdom flourishing in their life, because they'd rather be the authority of their lives and not Jesus. And it's easier to just do what I want to do as opposed to submit to Jesus and his teachings, right? The way they live their life communicates, hey, sure, Jesus might have some nice things to say, but man, that was like a long time ago, right? It's 2023. The things he says are, man, I don't really think he understands our context. Man, it just kind of feels a little outdated, right? Just kind of feels a little irrelevant. I know what actually leads to flourishing in life. Man, I don't need Jesus to have a flourishing life. Instead of submitting to Jesus' kingdom way of living, they choose their own way. So they might hear Jesus' teachings on what to do with their finances, right? To give sacrificially, right? So that you can be free from this slavery to money. And what they end up doing is they say, hey, that's nice and all, but I'm gonna hold tightly to the resources that God has given me out of this desperate fear that I'm never gonna have enough. Or instead of trusting God to provide for their needs, they rely on themselves and their own performance, kind of doing this life alone. And what ends up happening is they're not flourishing. They're being crushed by the weight of life and expectations. That's that kind of person. Or maybe instead of loving their enemies, they hold grudges. They maybe gossip, and they find themselves living in this life of bitterness. And man, who wants to live there? That's that kind of person. That is the third soil. They reject Jesus' teaching on the kingdom, and in doing so, they reject flourishing and make themselves more vulnerable to withering. What do I mean? Man, it's a life that's more characterized by fears, carrying the crushing weight of life on their own, and the list could go on. And so what's Jesus saying to his disciples here? And what is he saying to you and me? I think he's saying this: we don't flourish when we reject Jesus and we live life our way. When we're the kings of our lives, when we're the authorities of our lives. And maybe, friend, you're there right now this morning, right? You look at your life and you're like, man, if I could be honest, I'm at the end of my rope. Man, the way that I've been living my life and ruling my life isn't working for me. You're in this pit and you wonder, does it have to stay this way? Because you're like, man, I want to flourish with Jesus, right? I want that to be true of my life, but is that ever going to be true? Like, is there anything that could really change? Look with me at verse 23. Jesus, describing the last soil, he says, verse 23, but the one sown on the good ground. See, this is one who hears and understands the word, who does produce fruit and yields some 100, some 60, some 30 times what was sown. Point three is this, a life that flourishes. So the soil receives the seed and it bears fruit. It's flourishing, right? It's producing fruit. It was ready to receive this seed. Why? See, this person, they heard Jesus' message and they received it with faith. When Jesus spoke about the kingdom and the way to live in this life and that, man, that God's kingdom was crashing down in the person of Jesus to redeem and to reclaim, they're like, man, this guy gets it. I want to follow this guy. And so, man, they're following Jesus' way of living and being in the world and relating to God and other people, and they're bearing fruit. Do you know people like that in your life, right? Like someone who produces kingdom fruit. Maybe you've got a mentor in your life, somebody who disciples you. You're like, man, that person is godly, right? They're producing fruit. But maybe you're here and you're like, man, what is Jesus talking about with producing fruit? Like what is this talking about? Or maybe you just need a refresher. One of Jesus' closest followers, he wrote this about what it means to produce fruit in Galatians 5. If you want to flip there, go for it, but I'll just read it for us. Galatians 5, verse 22 says this, but the fruit, there it is, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, right? Some of us in VBS learn songs about that, right? We know it, right? But to bear fruit, it means that Jesus' message has sunk deep into your heart, has begun to transform you and to bring flourishing in your life. That's what it means to bear fruit. It means that he's transformed your heart. He's transformed your character, right? You're not who you used to be, right? Like Jesus, he's creating something new in your life. He's creating within you the fruit of the Spirit to be somebody who's characterized not by hatred, but by love, not by anger, but by self-control, with patience, with joy, right? And who wouldn't want to be described that way? Like who wouldn't want to have those descriptions be true of your life? Don't you want to be said to be somebody like that, right? Somebody who's self-controlled, somebody with patience, with love, with joy, right? Faithfulness, you want to be that kind of person. You see, when we receive and submit to his teachings on the kingdom, in other words, to his way of seeing and being in the world, me and you flourish. A scholar on the book of Matthew, he puts it this way. In the Gospels, Jesus defines true happiness as found in certain ways of seeing and being in the world, centered on his revelation of the kingdom of heaven. Once again, this happiness and subsequent life of discipleship depends on learning to reflect on the true nature of reality as taught by Jesus. There's a lot of kind of scholarly jargon in there. Let me explain what he's trying to say. Do you want to flourish in your life? Do you want to be somebody who flourishes? Then receive and follow Jesus' kingdom teachings. Walk in obedience to his commands and confess, Jesus, my way of living isn't working anymore. Jesus, I want you to direct me and guide me. I want to flourish. I'm not flourishing when I have the keys to my kingdom, when I am ruling on the throne of my heart. Jesus, I want you to be my king. That's what it looks like to respond positively to Jesus' words, to be that fourth soil. But if you don't want to, you don't have to respond to Jesus that way. In fact, many don't respond that way. In fact, many reject him. And to do so would forfeit true flourishing in your life. In fact, it would set you up to wither. Paul, who we just looked at in Galatians 5, he actually talks about the outcome of this kind of life. The outcome of the kind of life where Jesus, he's not exactly king in your life. You have your way of flourishing. And Paul, he describes the outcome of that life here in Galatians 5, starting in verse 19. Paul says this. He says, "Now the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I'm warning you about these things as I warned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the," what? "Kingdom of God." Friends, we wither when we reject Jesus' teachings, but we flourish when we receive them. You hear that? Man, you wanna flourish in life? Well, remember this, we wither when we reject Jesus' teachings. We flourish when we receive them. And maybe you're here and you've already received the word about the kingdom with faith, right? You've called on Jesus. You said, I'm done ruling my own life. I want the message of the kingdom to sink deep into my heart, to transform me, right? I want you to be king. Maybe that's you. You're the good soil, right? But if you're honest, there are times when your heart is like the other soils, right? I know that when I was studying for this, and I was reading this passage, I was like, man, I feel like I can identify with the thorny ground sometimes. Like, I have some competing priorities with Jesus, right? I'm still growing, right? We're works in progress, right? Maybe you've been there. Maybe you don't necessarily have a problem with following Jesus' teachings to love your neighbor, but when you hear Jesus talk about forgiving those who hurt you, the soil of your heart maybe isn't as receptive. You hear Jesus teach on that and you're like, man, Jesus, I really don't wanna do that, right? I have times in my life when that's true of me, right? Maybe it's not that. Maybe it's his teachings on finances or lust or anger or whatever it could be. There are times in our lives as Christian friends in the room, there are times in your life when you're not going to be as receptive to what Jesus would have to say to you, when the soil of your heart was hardened. So what can we do to make sure that the soil of our heart stays receptive to Jesus, that we can continue to set ourselves up to flourish in his world, his way? How can we do that? I'm not gonna pretend to be a gardener, right? If you put me in charge of your garden, good luck, it's probably gonna die. So I know a few things. Here's what I know. For a garden to flourish, it needs to be under the right conditions, right? There's gotta be heat, water. That's really the extent of my knowledge of gardening. So there it is. But you gotta watch the conditions, right? If you don't watch the conditions, the soil will become ineffective. And so as a gardener, you need to monitor the conditions that impact the soil. So, man, if it's gonna be in the 90s this week and you got a garden, you gotta water it more. So you're monitoring the conditions. And so the same thing is true for our hearts as Christians. If you don't monitor the conditions that impact the soil of your heart, you're gonna notice yourself being less receptive to Jesus and more resistant. So we gotta watch the conditions of our heart, the conditions of the soil of our heart. But what are those conditions? Like, what can we do to set ourselves up to flourish, right? To have good soil all the time, right? Like, what can I do? Well, there are a lot of things. There are a lot of conditions, but I wanna sum them down to really two things, okay? These two things, relationships and rituals. Those are the conditions. Rituals being habits, right? Things that you do all the time. These two conditions have a massive impact on the soil of your heart. Relationships and rituals. So with your relationships, maybe you ask yourself, do my relationships make it easier to follow Jesus, or does it make it harder to follow him? Maybe you know, when Jesus says we're to love and to forgive our enemies, I mean, you and your friends find yourself kind of frequently gossiping, right? It's gonna make it harder for you to receive Jesus' teachings and to follow him. Or maybe on the flip side, you've got people in your connection group who are helping you follow Jesus. They're bringing you back to God's word. They're holding you accountable, right? Lean into that. That's a great thing, right? So your relationships. And the same question can be asked about our rituals or our habits. The things that we do every day that shape who we become, right? And so the question there is, man, do my habits make it easier or harder to follow Jesus? Do my habits make it easier or harder? Or does the way that I start or end my day, or what I entertain myself with, or what I listen to, or what I watch, or any of those things, does that make it easier for me to follow Jesus, or does it make it harder? See, Keystone family, Jesus tells us that we flourish when we have good soil. When you and I receive his teachings, when we say, Jesus, I want you to be king. I want to follow your way of living. I want to follow you, Jesus. I want to flourish. But if you're here and you're not a follower of Jesus, where does that flourishing begin for you? Jesus kicks off his ministry in Matthew 4. And he starts off his ministry, and the first words that come out of his mouth are Matthew 4:17. He says, repent, because the kingdom of God has come near. In other words, the way that you can flourish is to turn from your way of ruling your life and ask Jesus to be your king, to be the one who guides you, leads you, saves your soul, right? Say, Jesus, I want you to be my king, right? This king who died on the cross for your sin, your way of living your life, and rose again so that he can be your good king. And I wonder if any of you would need to make that or want to make that decision this morning and say, man, Jesus, I want you to be the king of my heart. I want you to be the king of my life. I want to follow you. Or maybe you're here and you've received and believed the word about the kingdom, right? You're the fourth soil, right? You're, man, I'm a follower of Jesus, right? What can I do to continue to have this good soil? What can I do to make myself more receptive to Jesus' teachings? Well, maybe what you need to do is to consider, man, what are your relationships like? What are your rituals like, your habits in your life? Do these things, do they help me? And do they help me want to lean in and listen to God's word, to listen to Jesus' teachings, or does it make it harder? So how do we know if we're setting ourselves up for a life that flourishes? And how do we know if we're not? Jesus tells us we wither when we reject his teachings. But man, you and I, we flourish when we receive them. So where are you at this morning? Do you want to flourish in your life? I trust the answer is yes. And the answer to that question is, well, you need to come to Jesus with ears that listen. Man, Jesus, I want to know. I want to learn what this is all about. So let it be true of us that our hearts would be like good soil, that we would be a people who joyfully follow Jesus' way, man, over our own, right? Jesus, we want to follow you. Let that be said of us for his glory and for our flourishing. Let me pray for us. Jesus, you came to bring the best news that we could ever hear, that your kingdom has come, that in you, Jesus, God's kingdom of goodness and blessing has come to our broken world to redeem it, to reclaim it, to rescue us, to bring in a people for yourself, and to show us a new way to live. God, help us to be people who have ears to hear the message that when we receive it, God, we flourish. That's what you promise, right? Jesus, help us to flourish. And Jesus, I pray for those who, as they look at their lives, they identify with one of the three other soils. And I pray that they would call out to you saying, God, I can't be the ruler of my life anymore. I need you to be my king. King Jesus, show me what it looks like to flourish. And for those of us who've already made that decision, Jesus, I pray that we would lean in ever more to your teachings. That if there's anything in our lives that is not in line with how you would call us to live, would you call us out and help us to turn from our way of living and trust, King Jesus, you have the path to flourishing. So God, as we worship this morning, we pray that you would be glorified. Pray this in your name.